Welcome to SCOTUS Cast, Lawyer Access to Driver's License Records Edition. Thank you for tuning in. On January 9, 2013, the Supreme Court heard oral argument in Maricich v. Spears. The case considers whether the Driver's Privacy Protection Act permits a lawyer to access personal information from driver's license records in order to find possible clients, including when the lawyer has filed a placeholder lawsuit and is seeking to conduct a direct mail solicitation. To discuss the case, we have Peggy Little, who is a partner at Little & Little. As always, the Federalist Society takes no position on particular legal or public policy issues. All expressions of opinion are those of the speaker. And now, Ms. Little.
This is a podcast on the case of Maricich versus Spears. My name is Peggy Little. I'm an attorney in the practice of law in Connecticut. The federal statute under consideration is called the Driver's Privacy Protection Act. This was enacted in 1994. State motor vehicle departments regularly collect personal information and data from registrants. State Freedom of Information statutes make this information readily available to anyone filing such a request. In 1994, in response to concerns that states were selling access to this data to mass marketers, and also that stalkers were able to follow targets through Freedom of Information Act requests to this data, Congress enacted the Driver's Privacy Protection Act, prohibiting the acquisition or use of such information unless the requesting party falls into certain statutory exceptions. Two of those exceptions are invoked in this case, Maricich versus Spears, which is a suit for liquidated and punitive damages brought by individuals against the group action lawyers who solicited them as potential clients. The facts of the case are these. In 2006, lawyers in South Carolina brought a group action permitted by state law under that state's Manufacturer, Distributor, and Dealers Act. They brought that action on behalf of four consumers against numerous car dealerships, alleging that consumers were being charged unlawful administrative fees on car sales. Those fees were alleged to have been agreed to in concert with other dealers in the state. Otherwise, consumers would take their business elsewhere. Shortly before filing the state court action, the attorneys sent Freedom of Information Act requests to the South Carolina Motor Vehicle Department, seeking disclosure of private purchases of new or used automobiles in certain counties between certain dates in order to identify buyers, dealerships where purchased, the type of vehicle, and the date of purchase. During the course of litigation, several subsequent Freedom of Information Act requests were made, and they were targeted to identify and match purchasers with dealers. And then the purchasers were sent solicitation letters encouraging the car buyers to contact the lawyers to determine whether they had been charged the offending administration fees. Some of these FOIA requests, FOIA being Freedom of Information Act requests, were made to cure standing issues raised when dealers alleged that there was no sales relationship between them and the named plaintiffs. The state trial court found that the dealers had violated the Manufacturer, Distributor, and Dealers Act, and subsequent settlements resulted in monetary relief awarded to some 30,000 purchasers. The lawyers involved in defending the car dealership felt the turnabout might be fair play, and they then brought this federal court action, which is the action involved in this appeal, alleging that the solicitation letters violated the Federal Driver's Privacy Protection Act, and they sought statutory liquidated damages of $2,500 per violation and $200 million in other damages. The respondent lawyers, who are the lawyers who had brought the group action against the car dealers, moved to dismiss, claiming that the Driver's Privacy Protection Act litigation exception permitted the Freedom of Information Act request. The district court agreed and held that the letters were not solicitations as a matter of law, and further held that the litigation exception permitted the lawyers to request the information from the MVD and to send the solicitation letters. The Fourth Circuit reviewed and disagreed with the district court, holding that the lawyers' letters were indeed solicitations, but they affirmed the ruling of the district court, holding that the litigation exception applied and that the separate provision of the Driver's Privacy Protection Act, which prohibited solicitations unless prior consent was given, was just that, a separate provision, and as long as the conduct fell into one of the exceptions, in this case the litigation exception, it was permitted. The issues presented in this case at the Supreme Court could be put this way. The appellates, in fact, put their case this way. Does the Driver's Privacy Protection Act litigation exception grant lawyers special rights of access to otherwise protected information? The petitioners, who were individuals solicited in bulk communications by the lawyers, argue that the lawyers may not make such mass solicitations because the parties did not consent for their information to be used in such bulk solicitation. And they further argue that the litigation exception does not encompass the business aspect of the practice of law, soliciting clients. But instead, the litigation exception is limited to use of such Freedom of Information Act requests to identify witnesses or evidence relevant to ongoing or prospective legal proceedings on behalf of clients already known and represented by lawyers. To put it another way, they argue that solicitation of clients by lawyers falls under the statute's prohibition against bulk solicitation because the specific governs the general, and the litigation section is irrelevant. They point out that the litigation section does not specifically permit solicitation by solicitors, as it were, so prior consent is required. Respondents argue that the Driver's Privacy Protection Act was written to permit access on demand to such information in connection with legal proceedings or in anticipation of such proceedings without fear of invoking the civil and criminal penalties enacted by the Congress in the Driver's Privacy Protection Act. The litigation exception permits applicants access to this data, quote, in connection with, close quote, actual or anticipated legal proceedings. The respondent lawyers who had filed the Freedom of Information Act requests both before and during litigation to identify and reach potential plaintiffs argue that the exception permitted them to make such requests and that the case ends right there. The respondents argue that the specific does not govern the general, and as long as the permissive language of the litigation exception applies, there is no need to resort to another section. Both sections are equally specific and deal with different contexts. And if they overlap, as they do in this case, the permissive disclosure under one section ends the inquiry. The respondents also make points related to the scope of federal regulation and the application of civil and criminal penalties with respect to the state's management of their databases. Respondents argue that the Driver's Privacy Protection Act is federal regulation of state management of their databases and that states are free to and do have more restrictive disclosure laws. The oral argument transcript indicates that the justices did seem concerned with the lawyer-driven consumer class action activity and anxious to avoid an outcome of reading the statute that would permit trolling for clients. To quote Justice Roberts, he seemed concerned that if read too broadly, in anticipation of a particular litigation, could be such litigation residing in the brains of any lawyer looking for work, and that the court seemed unwilling to want to read the litigation exception that broadly. On the other hand, the oral argument indicated that, by and large, the justices seemed comfortable with the activity actually under review, and that while hypotheticals discussed, which came much closer to trolling for clients and line drawing, did receive active discussion by the court, those hypotheticals did not seem to implicate the actual conduct in this case. A review of the briefs and the oral argument transcript suggests that the court is likely to affirm the Fourth Circuit in this case.
Thank you for listening to this episode of SCOTUS Cast. For more episodes of SCOTUS Cast, as well as audio and video of past Federalist Society events, please visit our website at www.federalistsociety.org/multimedia.